Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Good morning, 510 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Yes, the government shutdown is over. Well, that was sure productive. For why? What did we gain? What did anybody gain? No, seriously, what did anybody gain from this nonsense? And I'm not even saying who was wrong. I'm just saying both sides had a hand in it. And in the end, we pushed back the funding until January. it's embarrassing. It really is. And then there's some emails that came out from the Epstein files that, you know, seemed to sort of make Trump look bad, but they came from a lady who said Trump did nothing wrong, so... And then, you know, Speaker Johnson finally swore in Raul Grijalva's daughter. That's who the Arizona Democrat that's been kind of waiting in the wings. I want to vote. Well, I mean, we're not voting. It's the government's closed. You know, she signed the discharge petition to force a vote on whether to demand that the government release all the Epstein files. They'll vote on it. They might pass it. The Senate, who knows? I mean, I don't know. Good things go to the Senate to die. And then, you know, the president, what will he do with the fake news hoax Epstein, right? That's what he's calling it. You got to figure he vetoes it. Probably wouldn't look great if he vetoes it. But then again, he's already in a de facto veto of these things, right? So, yeah, whatever. But none of that's all that, I think, big news. I mean, granted, the government shutdown ending is big news, but we knew it was coming, so not that surprising. But what is actually, for our local area, pretty big news is this story about the... I so hate it when people change the names of things. It was forever called the Advanced Traffic Management System, the ATMS. I don't know how many times I interviewed people about the ATMS and talked to them about the ATMS and, you know, wore jerseys for the ATMS. I don't know, you know, whatever. But this was the system that's going to control all the lights. And we sort of have it now, but not fully, you know, like we're partial rollout already of this and it's just operating in a non-building. It's in a room anyway. And they're building a building by the Emergency Operations Center, a $20 million building funded by FDOT and the feds, because we draw down money on these federal grants to save lives, kind of the Vision Zero thing, which I think is a silly concept. But, I mean, you know, it's, of course, we want to have zero deaths, but we're not willing to do anything to accomplish zero deaths. We talked about this many times. But so yesterday we actually broke ground. Well, the county, the TPO actually broke ground on the, what they're now calling the Regional Traffic Management Center. I got to learn a new acronym, the RTMC, or the RATMATIC. I don't know. I'll come up with something better. Anyway, so there yesterday, the current board chair for the Transportation Planning Organization, TPO, Stephen Berry.
We're here with Stephen Berry, the current TPO chair, and also commissioner for District 5 in Escambia County. Commissioner, what's the significance of this building and the system that it's going to house for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties?
So just literally the significance is our people are going to be able to move around more quickly, whether they're moving in their personal lives, their business lives. Cargo, as was mentioned by one of the speakers, it's going to help with economic development. You talk about 380 lights in Escambia and Santa Rosa County that are going to be now timed. It's one of the biggest complaints that I heard since I was in elementary school was, you know, why can't Pensacola, Escambia County have lights where you, once you catch a green light, you can keep moving. And you're going to see, you know, considerably better impact on the environment, as well as, you know, cost, just the cost of it. There's a cost of being in a vehicle for a longer period of time, cost of commute. It's going to be a huge benefit. And when you start talking about that benefit, you could make a very good case that the cost-benefit analysis for the county paying for something like this would also be there. In this case, it's all being funded through FDOT. I believe the funds actually originate with FHWA, but being administered through FDOT. And so we're especially excited about a $20 million project that doesn't have Escambia County taxpayer money in it. And something as close as they're going to be to our fiber deployment to the interstate, to our first responders, right next door. It's very exciting. And the thought of what Escambia County is going to be like in just a few years once this is all in place and implemented is very exciting. I hope all our citizens will be very excited about it. I realize they'll be much more excited when they actually when it affects their commute.
Well, it's my understanding, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of the systems are already in place, at least at certain intersections, and the ability to manage lights. But this will dramatically improve that efficiency, the reach and scope of the operations, and bring it even more so. What we've already seen improvements like Davis Highway, out on the beach. We've already seen some of the footprint improvement. This will just be even more so, right?
Yeah, you can almost think about some of those examples that FDOT did, as kind of test cases for what this is going to be and the impact that it can have. And then when you start talking about the fiber capacity and the AI function that is going to be integrated into it, I believe now we're still having to have a human being that manages it. They get alerts about things and then they go in and help it, which is fantastic. Similar to what's happened with some of the lights as you get to the island, San Rosa Island through Gulf Breeze. It's been a big benefit to have the technology in the lights and to have a human that will look at it and help. But it's even going to be better when it all happens automatically.
Sir, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for all the work.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. You could hear him in the background organizing for the groundbreaking. By the way, side note, worst groundbreaking ever. And not to criticize, but so at a groundbreaking, and it took them forever to get everybody organized with the shovels and the little dirt, and then to take out the shovels for the people that they had planned for who didn't show up. And, and then finally they got it all put together, and they're doing and then the person who's kind of the official videographer, I think, maybe had never quite done this before. So I've been to enough of these things that there's a real protocol for it. You have them stand there and smile, and then you have them pick up the shovels and smile, and then you have them pick up the shovels with dirt and smile, and then you have them, everybody toss the dirt. Well, they didn't do the dirt toss. They just kind of, all right, thanks. So some people tossed dirt. Some people didn't. They all stood around looking at each other, chewing their gum and trying to figure out, are we done? Did we do it? Should we redo it? And we're all like, no, you did enough already. Colton Wright, who is the prior chairman for the TPO, talked with him, of course.
We're here with County Commissioner for District 5 in Santa Rosa County. That's Colton Wright, just past chairman of the board for the Transportation Planning Organization, TPO. This is a huge day, Colton.
Yeah, this is really exciting. While all this is a groundbreaking today and we don't have a building yet, it's really exciting to know that the technology that's going to be used for this facility is already in play. We've already got it in signals around Santa Rosa County and around Escambia County already, and it's already made a 20% reduction in response time for emergency vehicles.
Yeah, and you made a great point about that during your remarks that, 20% may not seem like a lot to people, but when it's your commute or when it's your emergency.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, whether it's a traffic accident or someone has a medical emergency at home, seconds matter, and the ability to automatically flush a traffic signal so fire or EMS can make it through a congested intersection to get to a home or a motor vehicle accident quicker. I think, seconds matter, and it can be the matter of life or death.
Now, part of this, the way it operates now, as I understand it, is basically people are running the system, and it's made a big difference out on the beach. It's made a big difference on Davis Highway in Santa Rosa County. It's made a difference. You can't work miracles. Highway 90 is what it is until they, reconstruct it. But the new system is going to be not just people, but, AI is going to be involved heavily in this so that the responses are even faster than people running it, right?
Yeah, that's right. So currently it's kind of a hybrid. So there's manual switching of signals, and on the emergency preemption side, it's connected directly to the emergency vehicles and the signals. But in the future, it's going to be a situation where the system learns based on the cameras, looking at traffic patterns, even including pedestrians walking back and forth across a roadway at a signalized intersection. It will recognize a near miss of an automobile and a bicycle or an automobile and a pedestrian and can make adjustments to the signals at that time.
Wow. Okay. So it's a learning system that's going to adapt itself and the responses that it indicates to what it sees throughout its observation. Is that right?
Yeah. And MyoVision today, the contractor that's doing much of the technology, actually was taking taking people for rides, demos today. They could take three people at a time. They would drive around a suggested route, and they could show how something happened at that intersection and how it communicated directly with the automobile and gave them an alert of some sort. And currently, all Volkswagen vehicles, so Audi, Porsche, Volkswagen, and some others, currently have that technology, but this is something that is likely going to become very standard in the future.
So is this will not be all signals in both counties, or will it? Are they all going to be connected? Is every signal going to be connected eventually?
I think in a perfect world we'd have every signal connected. Yeah. In the direct future, it's a limited number of signals.
Okay.
Part of it is dependent on getting some of the fiber run, and that's the big process that's going to happen in Santa Rosa County in the next 2 years, is a major infrastructure improvement from a fiber optic standpoint.
So talk to me about this Emerald Greenlight program and what that does here.
Well, one of the great things for, you mentioned Herbert Field and Highway 98. So one of the great things that's going to happen there is, well, obviously traffic is an issue, and we know there's no one-size-fits-all solution, but one emergency solution that this project will allow for is if there's a call-up that happens to the troops at Herbert Field where they need to get on base very quickly to deploy somewhere around the world, we'll have the ability, using the MyoVision system and Emerald Greenlight, to basically flush that traffic and allow those people driving eastbound on Highway 98 to get there without being stopped.
Wow. So it's sort of a... what a fire engine, or as we're hearing in the background, the ambulance, when they activate, they alert, they have loud sirens and flashing lights. It accomplishes the purpose of clearing a traffic route. This is designed to do something like that for the hundreds or perhaps thousands of people flocking to the base during an emergency or an activation. It's not quite the same, but it's kind of that similar concept. Is that right?
That's right. It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, outstanding. What else do you want people to know about this? Because I've been waiting for this for years. I was excited when we started moving to a camera system. I was excited when we started to be able to see improvements on some of the major throughways in the area. And, you know, having had pretty good relationships with, you know, like Chris Phillips, for example, who you guys know and worked here for a long time, and trying to figure this stuff out and make it better. This is a big day. It's only the first step, but this is a big step forward for Escambia and Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, two things I would tell people to remember. One, this is not really Big Brother. This is, you're out on a public roadway. You're in the public. This is not an effort for anyone to intrude on your privacy or your life. It's basically just a way to make things safer for everybody. I don't think anyone will see any negative consequences from it. And two, you alluded to when you said you've been waiting for years, how long this kind of project really takes. Mm-hmm. You know, we had former commissioners here today, you know, both Dave Peach,
right.
You know, Robert Bender,
right.
And others. It takes a team to get stuff like this done, and it takes many years. And part of it's just, one, the planning process, then securing the funding, and then doing the infrastructure itself and implementing the project.
And it's all state funding, right? None of our local funds came for this.
This was state and federal funding, all in relation to safety.
Outstanding. Commissioner Wright, thank you so much for the time. What you do, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. So this is a big deal. And I actually talked with one of the guys from MyoVision. They're the software company that kind of, you know, makes all the magic happen and is going to implement all the AI and all the stuff between the infrastructure of the cameras and the sensors and the control mechanisms in the building. They're going to be the, you know, the substance of what the what I call the ATMS or the RTMC is going to do. And I'll have that interview for you later on this morning. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Also, the death of the penny. No more pennies. Made the last pennies yesterday. That's it. No more pennies. Did you know, John, this is a good trivia question. Does Canada make pennies?
I'm going to say no.
But you thought they did till just now, didn't you?
Right. And I was like, I got a 50-50 shot on
this one. it's one of those, like, trying to figure out what's going on in the mind of the question asker rather than basing it on any facts you happen to have awareness of, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So asked the question, your suspicion radar went off, and you're like, oh, I bet the answer is no. All right, so here's the next question. When did Canada stop making their pennies?
They never made them.
Oh, you were so close. I mean, you were right there. Come on, you don't know the Canadian penny, what it looks like? It's the weird little one with the maple leaf on the back. It looks just like an American penny, except it's not. Oh. You know, it says Canada, and it's got a maple leaf, and it's got a picture of the queen. At least it used to. I don't know. I actually answer that. Okay, so, yes, they did make pennies.
Okay.
Take a guess at when they stopped.
1921. I mean, come on. 2019. I mean, come on.
I'm dying. I'm gonna go way out on a limb here, and I'm gonna guess that you have never, perhaps have never even known a numismatist. Have you ever been a numismatist? Are you now, or have you ever been? Do you know anybody? You know what a numismatist is?
Nope.
It's a coin collector.
Okay.
You know the word for stamp collector? We're playing vocabulary games here this morning.
Oh, geez. At five.
Go ask David. You went one for four so far. David, what's the word for a stamp collector?
Stamp collector.
Good one. Philatelist. Yeah. All right, so.
I don't think you can say that on the radio.
I can say it before 6 o'clock. safe harbor hours are not inactive. Okay, so 2012. It's been 13 years since Canada made a penny.
Oh, okay.
They did this way before we did. And, you know, the nickel takes, what is the number? I think the nickel is 14 cents to make. The penny was 4 cents to make. The nickel is 14 cents. The quarter takes 15. And the little old dime, tiny that it is, takes 6 cents to make. So now we're just going to, you know, no more pennies. There's 300 billion of them in circulation. Don't worry, you can still find pennies. There's 1,000 pennies for every person in the United States who wants to collect pennies. Because there's 300 million of us, there's 300 billion pennies, that's 1,000 relationships. So you can still find pennies, but not at the mint. Except for the collectibles.
Those poor people that had a job doing that, and they're like, well, guess this is it, guys.
Yeah.
Guess this is all over.
They were all sad. I mean, a lot of people. I find myself a little emotional because I collected coins and stamps for a while, and you know, I feel a little bit like, oh.
And what's a stamp collector called?
A philatelist.
Okay, I'm not even gonna try. I'm just gonna leave that.
Oh, okay. Since we're here, this is a correction. I'm burying the correction on page 14D in the left in the right hand column. I used the wrong word yesterday talking about Sydney Sweeney's voice. I called it lugubrious. Because I always forget that lugubrious is the word that sounds like what mellifluous means. Mellifluous is the word that means having a voice that's like honey. Lugubrious just means sad. But if it were an onomatopoeia, lugubrious would be mellifluous, but it's not. It's an onomatopoeia.
What about a snuffleupagus?
David just had a twitch. I made David's head twitch.
Hey, David, do you know what a snuffleupagus is?
I do know what that is. Caitlin loves Sesame
Bingo.
Street.
Bingo. Yeah. We all win.
I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Oh! Son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
I think I figured you out finally, John. Country music and Tommy Boy. That's my safe spot for you.
About my level there.
No, don't talk about mellifluous voices. You know, don't talk about philately. At least not in public.
Snuffleupagus.
Hey, if you're thinking about selling a home, buying a home, doing any kind of a real estate transaction, give Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty a call. They're very good at this. They sell between three and four homes a week. on average. You know, 165 last year, divided by 52, you get the math. But one of the things that you might not realize can be helpful in a realtor is that she can help you buy a new home, like new construction. Because I know what you think is all you got to do is go to the builder. And, I mean, sure, you can, but, you know, you can negotiate with the builder. You know, they're motivated these days, right? And you can negotiate with them, and she will know how effective this question, that request, that change, you know, walking you through the process. And she says the builders actually like working with her because she knows what she's doing too. Like, it's good for both sides. But then, you know, on the back end, when you're actually getting the house delivered, sometimes you feel like, I don't know if I can ask for them to change this, fix that. Well, she's like, here's my blue tape. We'll do it. We'll get you everything exactly right. So go with somebody who has experience and can help you through the whole process. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a quick headline or two for us. David?
Well, a federal judge has ruled that the Trump administration cannot force states to undo their delivery of SNAP benefits. Many states began dispersing food benefits over the past weekend after a judge ordered the Trump administration to use emergency funds to make the payments. During the shutdown, the USDA later ordered states to undo the unauthorized benefits. Wednesday, a federal judge ruled the USDA's claim that benefits were unauthorized was, quote, untethered to the factual record.
I'm Gianna Gelosi.
We got the government open. Let's celebrate tonight.
House Speaker Mike Johnson celebrating after the House voted 222-209 to reopen the government. The president signing the spending package into law, blasting Democrats.
They caused tens of thousands of federal contractors and small businesses to go unpaid, and the total effect of the damage their antics caused will take weeks and probably months to really calculate accurately.
The bill does not include an extension of Obamacare subsidies, angering progressive Democrats. The White House is calling bogus on supposed leaked emails between President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein.
The president muses. The Democrats are trying to bring up the Jeffrey Epstein hoax again because they'll do anything at all to deflect on how badly they've done on the shutdown.
That is Fox's Peter Ducey. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 48 degrees in Pensacola with partly cloudy skies. We'll get more on our forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3 here in just a few minutes. New details on the deaths of two Escambia County children last week. An arrest report obtained by Channel 3 showing how investigators were able to get 27-year-old John Henry Walston to confess to killing 9-year-old Vaden Oram and 7-year-old Raiden Smith at his mobile home on Flaxman Street. According to this report, Walston initially claimed an intruder had broken in and set the fire. A 12-year-old boy that escaped from the fire backed up the story, but detectives then found the account did not match evidence at the scene. The report said Walston showed no emotion when shown crime scene photos, but after being left alone in the interview room with the photos on the table, they saw him picking the photos up and crying. When new investigators returned to the room, that's when he reportedly confessed. Sheriff Chip Simmons says that investigation is ongoing, including some questions about just why the children were staying at Walston's trailer that night. He faces multiple charges, including two counts of premeditated murder and sexual assault. He is due in court this Friday for a pretrial detention hearing. World-class sailing is coming to Pensacola Bay this weekend. The Pensacola Yacht Club hosting the Melges 24 U.S. National Championships. And that's going to happen Friday through Sunday. Teams will be competing from Puerto Rico, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Germany. The Melges 24 is an American-made high-performance sailboat that's been a longtime favorite at the club. Spectators can watch the races from Sanders Beach Park and the downtown waterfront. Regatta organizers say they're expecting a strong competition and a great turnout for the three-day event. Al Pensacola's Egg Fest is back this weekend at the Haji Temple on 9 Mile Road. The main event happens Sunday, but there's a special VIP dinner that's happening on Friday night.
Friday kicks off the event with our VIP party. That's 5:30 at Haji Shrine. We're doing a full Texas-style barbecue with brisket and ribs and pork and sausage and We even have some Texas-style chili, meaning no beans. So it's a stretch for some of us, but we figured, you know, if we're doing Texas-style chili, we got to eliminate the beans.
And VIP tickets are $95. Jolly says while the bites are small, after 12 to 15 dishes, you'll still get the meat sweats. The event features some of the best barbecue in the region, but it's also about more than food. Since its founding, Eggfest has raised over $920,000 for local charities such as Manna Food Pantry, the Ronald McDonald House, Sacred Paws, and others. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at some partly cloudy skies today, high near 74 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Friday, nice sunny skies with a high near 75 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Going into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 75. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Sagan Acker, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 48 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Toyota confirms it has started production of a new $13.9 billion battery plant in North Carolina. Perhaps even more noteworthy, the Japanese automaker plans to invest up to $10 billion more than previously expected over the next 5 years in the U.S. The North Carolina facility, Toyota's first in-house battery plant outside of Japan. Again this year, the online platform CableTV.com is searching for a chief of cheer whose job will require watching 25 holiday movies in 25 days. The individual chosen for that task will be paid $2,500 and get free subscriptions to DirecTV, Disney Plus, and Hulu. You have through December 3rd to apply for that cushy gig. Wall Street futures are indicating a mixed start to today's market session. On Wednesday, the Dow Jones Industrials notched the blue chip index's first ever close above the 48,000 level. The S&P 500 essentially flat, NASDAQ a bit lower, though. That's Your Money Now.
Dale's Marine Construction has been building high-quality waterfront structures in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for 35 years, making Dale's Marine the leading marine contractor for seawall projects, riprap, docks, boathouses, and boat lifts. From planning and permitting through construction, the experienced foremen at Dale's Marine Construction are true craftsmen who do the job right. Get your dream waterfront installation started today and live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction, proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show. They'll be talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, and how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stores.
The city appears to be ready to
engaging podcasts and various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Hey, obviously there's a lot of stuff on the agenda for tomorrow night, and I want to get to as much of it as we can. One thing that I want to start with a little bit is the reimagined Palafox, or what you guys are now calling the new Palafox. I was just explaining at great length, I'm sure maybe too much length for some people's taste, that the stormwater improvements necessitate completely regrading the road, which is why you're going to have to redo all the curbs and everything that's next to the curbs between the curb, new or old, and the existing 6 foot next to the buildings. I've been doing that, but one of the questions that somebody texted in, it says, is where does the stormwater go? If it can handle an inch of rain, where does that inch of rain go? Is it going to be processed like through one of these vortex vaults? Is it just going to go straight out into the bay? Does it just sit there and wait to get evaporated? Because we got the Hollis T. Williams project and the way that's going to manage stormwater. You tell me. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, my amateur understanding of this is brought to you by there's more water investment happening in the city of Pensacola than in the history of our city. So right now, so I can't get out of giving you this expertise without bragging about that. But between Hollis Williams, Palafox, Main Street, Langley on the way, we've got tens of millions, if not eclipsing, getting close to a nine-digit number on stormwater. So to understand Palafox, this is what you have to understand. It can take 93,000 gallons. And what that means is hypothetically on the construction area, we could dump instantaneously 1 inch of rain on the entire set of Palafox and it would be into the pipes. So just the existence of the pipes, that doesn't count that the water's moving through the pipes, right? So that doesn't mean that anything after an inch is now going to be a flood. What we're saying is there's 93,000 gallons of increased capacity underground immediately. And I think one really easy way to look at it is right now, there's 12 storm drains along Palafox Street in this project area, four or five blocks. In that project area, there's 12 places for water to go. The road is flat, to your point. Right now, it is dead flat, which means water sits. It doesn't go to the drain. It sits on the ground, and if you look at our ADA ramps, anytime it rains, there's a huge puddle. And so what happens here is we go from 12 to 44. So if you water in a bucket and there's 12 holes versus 44 holes, which one's going to move water out quicker? And that's ultimately what's happening. But to do that, to your point, and listen, there's been opponents of this that have romanticized this idea that it's only for aesthetics or that there's no other values to this. In my mind, the ADA compliance, of which we are grossly underwhelming in terms of Palafox's ADA compliance,
right,
as well as the capability to move this water. And yes, it will be moved and treated. So we're not allowed to build stormwater that just dumps out into the bay immediately. It has to go through a treatment process. And that's for any stormwater project that we work on. So if you're down at and you see that is all of that water must be treated in some way before it enters the bag.
I figured that was the answer, but I just, somebody asked and I didn't know for sure. And that's why I wanted to check with you. And that's a great comfort also, that it's not just like an inch total. It's an inch by the, it's immediately an inch and then it's going to move that water out. So you have, capacity per hour that is vastly different than what you have right now on Palafox, which again, that with the ADA, those are big deals. Another question that has come up, and this is such a tiny little question, but I think it's just I want to make sure. The issue of the square intersections rounded at the edges with a round donut in the middle that Brad Hinode explained, the city engineer explained, is meant to be visually discouraging speed. But, a question that came up, and I didn't know the answer, so I want to ask. But there will still be stop signs. We're not just depending on passive traffic control measures. There will still be stop signs, yes?
Yeah, to put it simply, think about it this way. If you come to a stop sign and you see something that doesn't look like a big, wide interstate level highway, it's going to just naturally tell your brain to slow down. That is all. Those are not roundabouts. They're not. They are to make the driver think for a second, therefore slow down before they go through. So absolutely, they remain four-way stops. You can drive straight. There's no issues with parades being able to fit through. That has all been vetted since the beginning and that's why, really at the, and I'm certainly appreciative of the majority of council's support on this. And that's why I really wanted to manage up staff, in the fact that I've been in these 22, 20, 24 meetings that just I've been in, I couldn't even count. I bet it's got to be 100 meetings that Brent Hinote, our city, has been in on this project.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard, you know, as I defend my staff, it's kind of hard to hear, you know, kind of peanut gallery comments of like, why didn't you think about this? Or why isn't that paver that color? Not because those aren't fair questions for folks that haven't been in 100 meetings. So I get it. But the reality is so many of these things have been vetted and looked at again and value engineered and all that. And so I just kind of hate that line of logic, or again, you know, especially from folks that maybe don't want to see even, because that is a wild presumption that these things have not been vetted, you know, completely. So you know, in the case of the traffic circle, yeah, there is no impediment to the normal four-way stop. The idea is to make you think for a split second, which means you might drive a little bit slower through that intersection.
It's all of the things we talk about in terms of, you know, road dieting through visual. You know, you drive slower on a street where there's lots of cars. You drive slower on a street where there's lots of trees. When you can see it wide open, you drive faster because you feel safer. And the idea is to create a kind of not ugly visual clutter that makes you slow down and, you know, just behave a little bit better. You know, usually you and I don't talk an awful lot about what's on the agenda because, you know, frankly, a lot of times there isn't a lot. But there are a lot of very interesting things on the agenda for tomorrow night. This is one that caught my attention. Let's start with the one that's a little awkward for you to answer, and then we'll talk about the one that I think is fascinating. Somebody, Charles Baer, is proposing to give you a $34,000 raise in order to put your pay in line with the formula that had been passed previously and that the city council already operates on. I guess there was a thing that maybe was done under Grover Robinson that kind of held the pay back. Do you want to get paid more? Is this your item? It doesn't even go into effect until after the next election, right?
Well, to be fair, ever since I signed up this job, it certainly has not been about pay. And you'll have to ask Charles Baer, you know, for the conspiracy theorists that say that this is you know, I would just point to the sponsor and how he typically votes on things that I want to have happen in the city. So
I actually wondered if maybe this wasn't Charles trying to make you look bad by offering you a pay raise. He would not do that. Okay. He's not that kind of person. But anyway, so
you know, at the end of the day, I'm not focused, nor have I taken this job based on what it pays to somebody that needs to be in this job that wakes up and eats and breathes how we make this a better community. So, you know, any council member can put any item they want, and whatever happens with that happens. I would defer to the sponsor on that.
By the way, just FYI, I don't think we can fix it at this point, but your phone is cutting out a little bit. So if I ever talk over you, that's why. I'm not trying to be rude. The one that caught my attention that I thought was the most interesting, there's an agenda item that would require every private parking lot owner to post a very, and it's specified like 140-point font, like it's very clear what the sign would be to say this is not a city lot, they can't use city logos on their bills, they have to have all kinds of very particular details on the signs in the private lots to try to amplify the clarity that these are not the city-owned lots. Interesting suggestion.
Yeah, it's out of preserving my own sanity, Andrew, because every week I get an email that says, I can't believe you charge $15 an hour. And so the reality is we want to be able to clearly delineate that. The state legislature last year passed a bill, of which I support, that requires private lot owners to things. You can guess what happened next, Andrew. Yeah. What happened next is they assume everybody has a microscope that they bring in their car with them to read the sign that meets the language of the state legislature. So if you drive to any private lot, there's a sign there. Now, I can't read it. I mean, unless I'm about 6 inches from it, and it's like the Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, that you just can't read anything on it. And so we're going to provide clarity. If clarity is not going to be provided, and again, as you well know, Andrew, the entire model of private parking is built to confuse people to make it think it's the city.
Right.
That's why their tickets say municipal parking on them. It's no other reason to vilify the mayor or the city and scare people to pay a ticket that has no legal authority of which you even have to pay. So that being said, then let's have clarity then. If you want to – listen, if you're right as a private lot owner that's your property, you can do that, you're legally allowed. That being said, there's going to be a black and white sign, literally, very much in black and white, that's going to say this is not the city. Here's the owner, here's their cell phone number, here's their email, whatever the case may be. So, you know, I even thought about putting a line, please don't call the mayor, but I thought that was selfish of me, but I was close
Yeah, no, the sign, I'm actually looking, the sign is actually on page 3,260 of the backup materials for the council meeting tomorrow night. It says, this property is not operated by a governmental entity. All vehicles are required to pay for parking as indicated on signage throughout the parking property. Charges for noncompliance, then it has a place where they put them. Grace period has a place to put them. Appeal process subject to Florida statute. Inquiries or complaints, and it has the phone number and the email address. Property owner, and it has the name and phone number of the, you know, like, this is a everything but don't call the mayor. I agree with you. So, no, I, you know, this seems smart.
Yeah, we ran out of room, Andrew, at the bottom. But it's going to now we'll be able to go tell our constituents, our visitors, that if there's that big black and white sign out front that says this is not a city lot, then that should be much easier to see now than kind of the joke of a sign that all the signs.
Just a technical question. Would that apply to people who open up, like, their lawns and stuff on special events and let people park? You know, it's not an official setup like the red lots used to be.
Correct. This would be, with the falls under the statute, which is the paid parking system. Obviously, someone was parking in their front yard for a game or something like that one time a year. I mean, that's not going to be.
Meant, like, you know, because people charge for that sometimes, and I just didn't know if this would fall under that. Sounds like it would not, which is, you know, good. There was one other, just a very quick thing. CRA on Monday voted down the Baptist money. What happened?
We're moving forward.
Oh, okay. All right. I must have read that wrong. I didn't watch that meeting.
That was voting on the demolition contract. And so we come back in December, we'll have the advisor for the city on board to help us with kind of the future planning and development.
So, okay, so that's all moving forward fine. Okay, I just completely read that wrong. That's my fault. I apologize. Very good. And the Quinn Studer offer. Have you heard from – because it seems to me like business owners would now be able to say, well, I had been worried about lost business, and I might still be, but we have at least some kind of a safety net aside from the $1 million the city's putting up that is going to help people through this time, right?
Yeah, exactly. And listen, this is an unprecedented investment by the city. When people read Facebook and maybe don't click on the, you know, that pesky article, what normally happens is people will say, oh, well, I can't believe the mayor's asking property owners to help or for private, you know, investment and things like this to get off the sideline, which, of course, I did not ask Quint for this, and he's very generous to do it. Doesn't surprise me knowing him the way I know him, but you know, we're putting well over $1 million of investment up. Which road project have we ever done that? And so this is not just, hey, will other people help the city get this infrastructure project done?
Right.
The city is stepping up in an unprecedented way, and those types of offers and efforts, and not from other landlords that are, you know, delaying rent, lowering rent, you know, temporarily. And again, Quint mentioned even in his own building, he's told people they don't have to pay this year. Which I thought was extremely generous.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so the property owners that stand to have a benefit of this finished product, I feel like the city is leaning on them, myself in my position, leaning on them to kind of help make this happen. Listen, when they repaid North Palafox, Andrew, years ago, they charged an assessment by linear foot to property owners. And Dan Lindemann will be very quick to tell you that. You know, paid about $5,000 in 1994 for just a simple repaving. So, you know, that we didn't go that way, but this very much invested in this, and we aren't asking of others what we aren't putting up ourselves between part between the bonus to get done quickly, the $100,000 in marketing, and any other thing. So,
that you guys said that the $700,000 of the bonus, if that doesn't get paid, that would be available to remediate for businesses as well. It's kind of either going to pay the developer
That's
to get
correct.
Done early, or it's going to pay the businesses to offset the losses from that extended time. We always like to end with a quick frivolous topic. A couple of questions for you. The lightning round. First one is, on your bed, how many pillows?
Seven. I would choose two.
Right.
It might be eight. I may have just glazed over. I'm trying to think.
I gotcha. Are your hands clean after you pet your dog or cat?
Well, I guess when I'm hanging out with Yes, I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about whatever my dog carries. But I guess I need a good wash if I'm going to be able to shake hands with strangers.
If you're eating like at the table and the dog comes over and you pet the dog, do you get up to go wash your hands?
No, okay. I mean, what kind of? How much? There's 24 hours in a day. And
That's exactly right.
Immune system, whatever the case may be.
All right, and when you open a bag of chips and you do not finish all the chips, what do you then do to protect the chips from the Florida air?
I have some people would call it lazy. I have this technique where you roll the bag and then roll the edge of it onto itself.
Okay.
Instead of going to find a chip clip.
Okay, and then you just trust gravity or physics somehow to push up against the wall kind of thing?
Correct. And when you go back to get some more, then you may not do it as solidly as you did the first time. and then that means you have to eat them quicker because they may go stale.
Right. But that's just a motive to enjoy them better, right, at the front end. So that's all right.
Exactly.
Perfect. That's
right.
That's great. Mayor D.C. Reeves, looking forward to the meeting tomorrow night. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Most definitely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. One thing, I think I have changed my mind just a slight bit, my perspective on the Quint Studer loan money. And here's why. I was thinking about this yesterday. As a business owner, if you're opposed to this project, the concern you have is that you're going to not make a bunch of money because or lose a bunch of potential revenue because of the impact of the construction. And if you get a no-interest loan from somebody else, that still doesn't solve for the fact that you didn't make that money. I mean, it lessens the pain. It gets you over the hump, but you still have to pay the money back, so you're still out that money. You're still, torted. Legally, you might say. That's not really the right term. But, you're still harmed. And I was thinking about this as a business owner. That still doesn't take the pain away of losing the money. And so I still think it's a good project. Of course, obviously, what Quint is offering is a very good thing. But I think I made it seem like that just, wipes away the problem. And it doesn't. And, I kind of wanted to correct that. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about your next car, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection, good quality used cars. And, one thing is you may not think about this because what happens in a, bad car relationship is you just kind of get used to it over time. But let me ask you a question. Do you love your car? And your answer should be yes. And if your answer is anything other than yes, it's time. You deserve better. You should enjoy your car. You shouldn't dread your car. You should like driving it, like being in it, feel like, oh, yeah, every time. I mean, that should be the sense instead of, oh, no, or, oh, gosh, I hope it works. Like, whatever the problem is. Plus, after a while, if it gets old enough, you put so much money into it that it's actually, I'm not saying you'll save money by buying a new car, but you might, right, at a certain point. So go to Frontier, find out what they've got, at least get informed, and then if you're not going to get a car, that's fine. Do whatever makes sense, but at least then oh, man, for this much money, I could be like, oh, yeah, I could be Kool-Aid Man again? That's what you find out. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
There are a lot of questions news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Bailey's Produce and Nursery.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne has a quick headline for us in the newsroom. David?
Well, Andrew, unionized Starbucks baristas are going on strike today. The action coincides with the coffee giant's popular Red Cup Day. The union representing about 550 of the stores accuses Starbucks of not fairly negotiating.
All right. Very good. Are they doing any special follow-up promotions on the Barista Cup? Probably not.
Not that I know of.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.